Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for all that you are, all that you've given us, and all that you are giving us and will give us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and his presence here today. We look forward to your word that you have for us.
Yes.
And we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we look out, as I've said, part of this series of teachings has been not to let situations and circumstance affect whether or not you are walking in the joy of the Lord that he has given you. And sometimes we can get up on a cloudy, misty, rainy day like this and go, oh, that's not so nice. But it's just a situation and a circumstance. I think of this song, this is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And that's what I do. I tell myself, let's just rejoice. It doesn't matter what this day looks like. God made it and it's going to be a great day. So sometimes I just have to tell myself things like that. You know, I talk to myself. I can get away with that, at least in private in my own home, and no one thinks I'm nuts because there's no one there to hear. So I talk to myself all the time. Now, I try not to do it too much in public because then you'll get some looks. But I'm excited about what God has for us today. I've been excited every week. I think as we started this, I tried to explain about what God had been showing me starting about a month before going on my trip to Tanzania. And it hasn't stopped, and I don't want it to, is the way I've put it. And the key is what God has been showing me. It doesn't have to. That's the key. Really, I'm the only one who can make it stop. And by saying that, it means you're really the only one too. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. It's what God has been showing me that I'm to be sharing either next week or now. God's pretty much put in me that there'll be one more week after I return from the holidays. So I'll be sharing this week and next week. And then I will be gone to Ohio to spend Christmas / New Year's with my sister and brother-in-law, visiting the church that I was a member of or part of before I went to Chicago, the church that Pastor Bob Hawk started in Titusville. I usually do that every holiday season, so I'll be doing that again. But God also has shown me that I'll be teaching at least one more week when we come back. And Pastor Bill had told me that that was fine if that's what was needed. So I already have his blessing to do that. And I think I've shared with you many times, and some of you that have got to know me a little bit, I'm an extremely organized person, and I like things to fit. So I've been having a conversation with God because I was trying to make this fit. I thought, oh, this just works out nice. I'll wrap up the Sunday before I leave from Christmas, and it'll all be in there. And so I was talking to God, and he says, don't try to make it fit the way you want to. If I've got something for you to share, just share it, and however long it takes, that's how long it'll take. So I've submitted, and I'm going, okay, God, that's what we'll do. I will make it fit in my little space that I want it to fit. And there's a release in that. Just going, okay, it'll be what God wants it to be. So I just thought I'd let you know that. So you know what to look forward to. And I'm looking forward to it because he's shown me, not in detail, but in a summary view of some of the things he's going to have me share. I'm so excited about what he's shown me already without even really digging into it. Which then makes it easy to say, okay, if it takes another week, that's just fine, because it's exciting things coming from God. So let's pick up today where we left off last week. I actually shared from the book, really the first time in any detail, a statement made by Roland Wharton in his book, Surprising Joy, The Surprising Power of Joy. And we wrapped up last week by me sharing something he shared, and that we're going to use that as kind of just an outline. I'm not using it as a teaching point, but the way he phrased it, it was like I read it and go, yeah, that's it. That works perfect. And then I said, okay, let's go see what the Bible has to say about everything that he shared here. And that's what we're going to start looking into today. And so I'll repeat that statement that he made that I had those who take notes write down last week. So this is actually what he says in his book. Joy, however, dives a little deeper. And as I said, I would say a lot deeper. That's just me. Joy dives a lot deeper and is the fruit of the life of God working inside us. As we align and cooperate with His will for our lives, loving what He loves and becoming more like Him, joy for the Christian has its source from God. It is everlasting. It functions regardless of situations and circumstances and is not dependent upon mood or outcomes. Now, it's quite a mouthful, which is why we're going to break it down into mouthful bites, little pieces. I like to joke. Sometimes we can look up things and say, oh, that's just so much. What's it really saying? And so I like the statement, well, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So we're going to go back and look at this one bite at a time and see what the Word of God says about each of these statements that He's making in this. Now, what I also shared was, as I was reading through this, I'm going, yes, this is it. This is really what joy is, and it's a good way to look at it. But in my spirit, it was just like, but this has to be first. Here's the starting point. He had this point in the middle of it. And to me, anytime I look at anything from God, I go, okay, does it come from God? Is that the starting point? Because if it doesn't, then it's probably not God. Does this really come from God? So in the middle of that statement, he said, joy for the Christian has its source from God. So that's where we're starting. There, kind of in the middle, and then we'll go back and do the rest of them in order. So that's where we're going to pick up today with the statement, joy for the Christian has its source from God. So those of you taking notes, you may want to write this scripture reference down if you have your Bibles and or your electronic device that you want to put in this reference so you can pull it up and look at it, because we're going to break this verse down kind of piece by piece too, just this single verse. And it's Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17. Give you a second to get there. Sometimes it takes a second longer if you're still using the written Bible, which I prefer to use in church. Now, I often use an electronic source when I'm out. There's just something about, I just like turning the pages and getting there when I'm in church. Maybe not quite as quick sometimes, depending on if the passage, the reference is in one of those spaces in your Bible where it's a little more stuck together because you haven't been there quite as often as somewhere else. Actually, God had me recently in a couple of those books. He kind of says, well, I was thinking, well, where haven't I been? And He gave me a couple, and I went back and read those books. And I found some, as you might guess, a few very interesting things that God wanted me to see there. So if you get a chance, think about where you haven't been and just go back there and look. There's stuff in there, is what I'm saying. So Romans 14, 17. It starts out with this phrase, for the kingdom. Now, I want to talk about, first of all, what is it meaning by for the kingdom? The kingdom is the realm, or in other words, the area where the king rules. If you look at that word kingdom, it's the king's domain. It's a good way to think about it. It's the king's domain. It's where the king rules, but also reigns. Reigns really talks about the time period. There's a reign, a time period. So it's the place where God rules and reigns, okay? And the time period where He does that. Now, for us, the time period of His rule and reign was when we got born again, because we're going to see why that's the case. And then it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Now, simple point, and I'm quite sure those of you that are here already know this. Some that are listening online may not know this yet. It's not that eating and drinking are bad. It simply means that the kingdom does not originate from and is not maintained by anything that is of the flesh. Okay? So it's not, the kingdom is not eating and drinking. That's really kind of what it's saying there. It's not, there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. I love eating. It's one of the things that God lets me enjoy. It's that simple. It's one of things that I really like to do. There's nothing wrong with that. Once again, when you do it in moderation. I can think yesterday I'd gone out to eat and the waiter came back and says, well, now do you want another one of these? And I go, well, I could eat it and it would taste good, but I'm kind of comfortably full right now. And if I eat that one more serving, I'm probably going to be over full. And I said, okay, I won't do that. Now, I will say I don't always do that either. But you should. In other words, it talks about overeating in the Bible. It says, don't do that. There's a point where you need to stop, I guess is what you're saying. So it actually crossed my mind yesterday. No, we're not going to go over that line, and we'll stop here. It's actually better for my body if I do this too, my physical body. So it's really nothing about the eating and drinking as much as it is looking at that as the flesh being having anything to do with the source of the kingdom of God. It goes on to say, keep reading through it, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but. Now, saying it's not this, but means, well, here's what it is. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This being key too. It's in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to keep seeing this as we go through it. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the domain where God is king and reigns supreme is a place where joy ought to be. If he reigns, in other words, if that's what he does in his being, this is what God's doing. He's reigning. Okay? That's what he's doing. And how is he doing it? He's doing it by righteousness, peace, and joy. So if we're to be anything like he is, which the Bible says we are to be, as we're living our lives and doing what he would have us do, we ought to be doing it in righteousness, in peace, and in joy. Okay? Now, I will say, because of what God has had me sharing, I have been bringing a great focus to the word joy, because that's what he really said. Here's what we're talking about, or what I want you to be sharing about. But I will say that everything else, how would I put this? It's not just joy that we're talking about. Here it says righteousness and peace. They are equally as important in his reigning. And as we look on into some other verses, there are other things too that are equally as important as joy being part of our life. In fact, if you were to ask me if there was one thing that I could say, well, you should even put this before joy. And the Bible actually makes it fairly clear. It's love. Okay? It says, let all that you do be done with love. Everything that you do is to be done with love. And love is in us because of the Holy Spirit inside us as well. So if I were to put a priority on any one thing, and I would say this only because the Word of God says it, even in verses such as where it says there's faith, hope, and love, and the primary one is love. So it says that. If you're going to focus on one thing and one thing only, start there. But really, we should have all of it in us all the time. See, the gifts of the Spirit are given to us as they are needed for the church body. The Bible makes that clear. But the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are there and are available to us, and we should be living in and walking in all of them all of the time. They're always there, and it's God's desire that we be walking in them. We're going to go into more of that as we go forward, looking and looking at specific verses that tell us that. I'm often up here, and I'll say things, and I'm going, I don't want it just to be me saying it. I want God's word to be saying it. Because then I know that we're on safe ground. It's just not me. What does the word of God say? But I will tell you, the word of God will tell you exactly what I've just shared. And we're going to go back and look at that. Where it shows you that this is what God's word says. So in this verse that we're looking at, it says, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that the Greek word there is the Greek word used for joy is kara. And that one's actually fairly easy to pronounce. Most of them I butcher, but that one's simple enough. I'm quite certain that it's kara. Okay? And here's what it means. It means cheerfulness, that is calm delight, gladness. Now, I think I shared with you that sometimes you can ask someone about joy and they'll say, I'm full of joy. You know, one of those looks. Well, now, you could do that kind of here. You could just say, well, there's a calm delight in me and get away with it. But what I will tell you is the definition of this word doesn't stop there. So there should be and ought to be a calm delight that is always present because joy is present in your life. But it then goes on to say it also means to be greatly or exceedingly joyful and joyous. This is the type that wants to get out and should get out. In other words, the Holy Spirit is in us. Therefore, he has put joy in us, but it's up to us to let it out. Okay? And that's actually kind of the main point going into next week. God showed me some things, because I like asking questions as I go through things. Okay, well, we know that we're supposed to do that, but how? You know, if we're supposed to do it, we got to know how to do it, right? Well, God will lead us. And there's some things that God has shown me to share with everyone over the next couple of weeks that excites me, because he showed me, well, this is how it works, and here's why it works that way, because my word will say that. So, once again, when we're talking about this word, Greek word used joy here, it means a cheerfulness that is a calm delight, but even beyond that, it also means greatly or exceedingly joyful and joyous. It is brought into the soul by the Holy Spirit. We know that. We've already talked about it. But we also need to know and see that it is also maintained there by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not something that he puts in there and says, oh, it's there. God always backs up his word and what he's doing. So literally, it's the Holy Spirit in you that's maintaining and keeping joy there available for you in its fullness at all times. The Holy Spirit is doing that. So it's not an emotion which may or may not be present. It's always there because the Holy Spirit is making sure it's always right there, available for you when you need it. Now, the key is, what I found is I need it all the time. Okay? There are certain times I need it more than others. Okay? Especially when I am feeling beaten up, downtrodden, weak, tired, and just don't feel like I even want to get out of bed. That's when I need it the most. But it's always there. Okay? So, the second phrase in that passage that I read to you out of the book, Roland Wharton's book, was joy is the fruit of the life of God working inside of us. Now, we already talked about the kingdom of God, meaning it's the king's domain. So let's look at, actually, you probably don't even need to go there. 1 Corinthians 3:16, if you're taking notes, write it down. It's a passage that I'm sure most all of you know. If I start it, you could finish it. You may not know what it is by me just giving the reference, but in this church, I'm quite certain that you all have heard this many times. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are children of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? See, this is the starting place. If you don't know this, then you need to know it. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And if the Spirit of God dwells in you, then you know that joy dwells in you, because he's the one that brings it. Okay? Now, this passage I would like you all to turn to, because there's some important things that I want you to see here. And that is Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Thinking back to the past few weeks when we went through Ephesians, in chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And basically, we went to one verse and stayed there the whole week with a little bit of supporting scripture. This time, as God was giving me this to prepare, it was like he gave me, like, I don't know, 20 different places to go to. So it's a little bit different. So you'll be writing down and turning to different places more so than we have in the past, just the way he gave it to me this time. Luke 17, 20 and 21 says this: "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come." See, we've been talking about the kingdom of God to this point this morning, and the fact that that includes him reigning in joy. "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees," of course this is Jesus, "when the kingdom of God will come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you.'" You see, if in fact you have made Jesus not only your Savior, because now this is key. There are people, and the Bible actually makes this clear, there's a distinction among believers and disciples. And we can choose whether we're going to be just a believer, and I say it that way for a reason, or a disciple. Okay? And there's a passage we could go to. God's not having me go there. But Jesus is talking to believers, and he tells believers, if you want to be a disciple, then you've got to add this to just being a believer. I like to put it that believers are those who have received the free gift, and they're saved, and they've got fire insurance, okay? And they'll go to heaven. The Bible makes it clear it's going to happen. But if you are to become a disciple, which is God's desire for each one of us, then there's something more. There's more to being a disciple than a believer. It will cost you some things, okay? And here, if we are to have the kingdom of God ruling in us, we have to be able to say he's Lord, okay? Over and above, then he's just Savior, okay? When you say he is Lord, it means he's my king and he rules and reigns in my life. And I'm only going to be doing what he tells me to do. That's what a Lord does. Okay? And so what Jesus is telling the group of people he's talking to here is, you're not going to see my kingdom. Why? Because it's inside of those who follow me and become my disciplined followers, disciples. Okay? So that's where his rule and reign is, and that's where you're going to find peace. His reign is in us. And all of us who are his and have made him Lord will experience the joy, but not only joy, the righteousness and the peace and all that we're going to see coming up that is in us, okay? Because he puts it there, and it's how he does things. And if he does it that way, then we need to be walking out and living our lives the same way he does. And that's the key next point that we need to see. The joy of the Lord that is inside us. This is the next phrase, that little next little bite that we're going to eat from the book. The joy of the Lord that is inside of us will become evident to us as we align and cooperate with his will for our lives. This too goes back to him being Lord. When he is Lord, we will be doing his will. He will show us his will. He will enable us to walk out his will for our life. He won't just show you and say, oh, you're on your own, okay? That's not the God he is, okay? But know that he will show you. Now, I've talked to some people and go, so what's God's will for your life? What's he shown you? And they'll say, well, I don't know. And this is not me being judgmental, so I have to watch how I'm saying this. And I'm careful when I'm talking to people. And I go, you do know that God wants you to know his will for your life more than even you want to know it? Okay, so he really wants to know. Now, do you think God would have a hard time figuring out how to get it across to you? Not a trick question. Not really. He's the master communicator. So we can't say, oh, well, this person got it because of this is the type of person they are. They hear God's voice all the time. So of course they're going to know God's will for their life. No, if they're saved and if they've made him Lord, God is wanting to show them and can show them. Part of the key is, and this is usually where my conversation leads when God has me do this, when someone's come to me and we're talking about something like this, it really comes back to the person. Do you really want to know? And if you do, then I will suggest that you go to your quiet place with God and stay there until you know. In other words, listen for it. Say, God, I really want to know. I'm not seeing it. Show me, Lord, what your will is for my life. He will do it. But if you're just constantly running around going, doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this, and you haven't done that, you may not know. So in other words, it takes some time on your part and you actually desiring to know. He says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Do you really want to know God's will for your life? Sometimes we ask God for something and you go, oh, that was maybe a little bit more than I wanted to know and see. And I can only say that because I know me. He will show me some things and I go, oh, maybe I shouldn't have asked that. Because now I know it's what God wants for me. And guess what? That means I need to do it. And I go, oh, this is going to be hard. This is just me being honest. God will show me some things. In fact, I'm not going to go into detail, but as I'm teaching you and sharing what God is having me share you about joy, the reason is because God has been revealing to me literally for the last 4 months all about joy. And there was a reason. The reason is that I wasn't walking in it the way that God wanted me to. Okay? And so he's shown me all this, but he said also share it with everyone else. And typically when he does that, it doesn't take a rocket science. If he wants me to share it with everyone else, they may need to hear it too. That's just the way I look at it. You know, it may be for you. You can decide that, but I know I needed it. And I'm actually excited that he's given me this. I will tell you, it's just fun, which was the word I kept using when I came back from Tanzania. It's fun to walk in joy. Much better than the alternative. Some people will say, well, how, you're telling us that we can have joy and we can walk in it all the time. And you're going, oh, that just doesn't sound feasible. Well, do you know any people who've walked in depression for like 10 years? Think about it. There are people like that. Now, it's sad. We need to pray for them. We need to sympathize with them. But if you can do one, you can do the other is what I'm saying. And actually, it's a lot easier to do the second one because God's there to give it to you and lead you to walk in it because that is the will, his will for your life, not the depression. And that's why part of what God has me share going forward is to say, okay, here's what God's word says, how to get out of that and into this. There are several things that we can do on our part that the word tells us we can do that will, I'm trying to think of the right words, to draw upon the joy that's in us. In other words, to not let it stay inside of us, but rather to have it become part of our daily lives, to let it out. That's the key. Okay? So we're going to be going into that much more going forward too. But the joy of the Lord that is inside of us will become evident to us as we align and cooperate with his will for our lives. Now, I will tell you, this point I'm actually going to spend more detail on next week. But I do want to share one more thing here before we move on. And that's a passage that, once again, most of you know. And it's from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And it says there, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's why we're going there, is once again to know that Christ lives in each one of us. And that's our starting point. And we've talked about, if he's inside of us, then joy is in there. Because he lived a life full of joy. In other words, you can't say, well, Jesus is in there, but I don't have joy. It's not possible. Now, you can say it. All I can say is you'd be wrong. It's really that simple, because the word will tell you otherwise. And if the word tells you otherwise, you need to be able to admit, I'm wrong, the word's right. Okay? So if Christ is in you, joy is in you. It's that simple. And this verse tells us that once we give our lives to Jesus, he's in us. Okay? But Christ lives in me. Now, the key is, as I've said a few times this morning, is are we accessing it or not? Are we living our lives through him? And that's what the Bible tells us to do. He's in there, but it's not just enough that we know he's in there. The Bible then tells us that we need to live, which would mean to walk out, to do what he's given us to do through him. Not through our own strength, not through our own abilities, not through, let's say, our own mind, will, emotions, that which is of our soul, not through our physical flesh. We are to live through him. And now think of it this way, through him who brings us joy, who rules and reigns in joy. So as we live through him, we are going to be living through the joy that he's put in us. It should be part of our daily life all the time. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. For those of you who are writing down notes, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 tells us this. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Here's the key. That we might live through him. Okay? So once again, I say things and go, okay, I don't want you to think this is just me saying something. The only reason why I'm saying it is because I know it's in the Word of God. Now, every once in a while as I'm talking to people, in most cases, I can say, oh, it's here. Here's where you're going to find it. That's just the way God has me do things. And every once in a while, I go, I know it's in there. I just can't tell you where it's at. Go look for it. Okay? I can tell you it's there. I know it. But everything I'm wanting to share with people, oftentimes I'll get into conversations with people and they'll go, well, this is what I think. And I have a way of responding. And I have to watch myself sometimes. You hope you all know, even though I'm up here, I'm not perfect either. and by perfect means, sometimes flesh will rise up in me. And I'm not really always quite so interested in what you think as to what God knows. Okay? And so I will typically not respond, well, this is what I think. I'll just say, well, this is what God's word says. And then someone will say, well, this is what I think. And I'll go, this is what God's word says. Because you really don't need to hear what I think either. If we know what God's word says, that's what matters. Okay? So here it says, he's put himself in us and his love is in us. And not only is his love in us, but his joy is in us. So that we can live through him. Okay? Now, once again, I like asking questions. When I'm sharing with someone, I go, okay, now I've said that, but what does that do for us? In other words, how do we do this? You can always make a statement and go, well, what does that mean? How does it work? Okay? So that's the type of question I ask as God's leading me through this, because I'm not looking to share something and say, well, you're on your own. No, let's see what God's word has to say. So we're to live through him who is in us. So how is it now that we can do this? Well, it is only because the Holy Spirit does live in us. And because he does, we know that all that he, by he here meaning God, all that God is, has been given to us. All of it. We are assured of this in John 1:16. Says there, and of his fullness we have all received. Everything that Jesus was made of, everything that is of Jesus, we have received. That's what it's saying there. And of his fullness. Now, he was the fullness of it. We are not necessarily of the same fullness, but he's given us of his fullness all that we need. So it's all in us, just maybe not necessarily quite to the same degree that he was, because he is the fullness of it all. Okay? So, in Galatians 5:16, wow, I just looked at the clock. I don't know, for those of you who have never been up here, sometimes it's shocking. You think you've been up here 15 minutes and you find out you've been up here 35. And go, what just happened to time? That's just happened to me. I'm going, oh boy. Galatians 5:16. And this is probably where we'll wrap up today. We'll pick up going on next week. But this is something that the Spirit said, share this, because it's something they need to see again, because it fits here and will provide a better understanding of how God means this to work, what we're talking about. I actually shared this in an entire teaching / sermon, whichever you want to call it, sometime a year or two ago here. But God said, once again, I have conversations with God all the time. And I talk to him like he's there, and I'll go, but wait a minute, I already shared this. So instantly, God brings to mind, well, faith does come by hearing and not by having heard, right? So in other words, I'll hear those things back in my own mind too. God will just go, yeah. Well, he's saying, I'm telling you to share it now. So I'm going, okay, God, I will do that. Galatians 5:16 is a very important verse as we walk out our lives through him. Okay? That's what we're talking about. How do we walk out our lives through him? Specifically here, looking at it in the eye of joy, but it applies to every other thing of his fullness that he's put in us. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, one of the teachings that probably is stuck in me more than any other that I've had in my life, there's no way I could forget it, because as I was sitting there, it was a teaching by Dale Armstrong, who was my pastor at the time when I heard it. And he shared this, and it was just like, I've read this verse hundreds of times in my life, but I never really got it. And he shared it as the Holy Spirit had revealed it to him, and it so jumped out that I could never forget it, is what I will say. And he said, most Christians have this verse wrong. And he used the phrase, they read this verse and they have spiritual dyslexia. And that got my attention right away. What? Because we all know what dyslexia is. It's reading something and then turning it around. Well, he was saying most Christians, hopefully none of you here, but most Christians read this and they go, well, I'm working really hard to not try to fulfill the lust of the flesh, not give in to those and not do those, so that I can be spiritual. In other words, so that I can walk the way God would have me walk. But that's not what this verse says. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. It says that I say then walk in the Spirit, and then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's where our mindset needs to be. But now the key is, how do we then walk in the Spirit? Well, if you don't know what's being asked of you, how can you do it? Once again, I ask God questions. Okay, you're saying this, but then how do I really do it? Well, this is where God took me into a time when I was spending time with him after hearing this teaching from Pastor Dale Armstrong at the time. And God impressed upon me, go back and look at the Greek word for walk here. And I don't look up all the Greek words, but in this case, it was just kind of led to go back and look at it. And this word walk says a mouthful, is all I will say. You know, a lot of words have more meaning than what we just think of when we first hear a word. In this case, the Greek word used here has a whole lot of meaning that you really won't understand what it's saying. I say then walk in the Spirit so that this doesn't happen. You need to see everything that's in that word walk. The Greek word there is the Greek word peripatio. And here's what it means. It means to live, or in other words, to follow Specifically in this case, that's what the definition says, to follow. Here, oftentimes people think of the word walk and they think of it literally to put one foot in front of the other. We're walking. But that's not what it's meaning here. It doesn't mean that the only way to walk in the Spirit is to walk along physically. It's a metaphor, and this is what the metaphor really means. It means to live. But to live not just walking aimlessly anywhere, but to live following. That means, if you're following, that means someone's in front of you, right? Or something that you're following. And in this case, it uses the word, you are votaries. Now, I had no idea what that word was, so God had me look it up. And then it made sense once I saw it, because who are you following? It's the one to whom you are devoted. So in other words, a votary is someone who is devoted to somebody, okay? So now, this, what we're saying here is we walk in, we live out following the one to whom we are devoted. Here's a key. All the while, deporting, conducting ourselves, and behaving the way that the one we are following us would want us to. Okay? And here's where this walking out comes in. Because, okay, we said that we are to live, to walk, to follow. Well, how do we do that? The Bible makes that fairly clear. 1 Corinthians 5:7, I think, you guys will know, says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So as we follow, we know that we're walking by faith. But then the definition of this word, peripatio, says all the while conducting ourselves or behaving the way the one whom we're devoted wanted us to conduct ourselves. How do we do that? Well, the answer is right there in Galatians chapter 5. You're seeing it in verse 16 as telling you to do it. But it doesn't just tell you to do it and then leave you like, well, how do we do that? The answer is down in verses 22 and 23. Once again, another passage that you all know. I'm sure of it. This is how he enables you to do it. But the fruit of the Spirit who is in you, the fruit means, have you ever seen fruit stay on the inside of the tree? It comes out on the outside, right? So you're going to live out. This fruit that God's put inside of you is going to be visible. It's going to be on the outside. And here's how you are to conduct yourselves in love, in joy, in peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these will be part of how we walk out, live through Christ who is in us, that will enable us to do the will of God, to follow him properly, the way he would have us follow him, but to also do so, conducting ourselves the way he would want us to do so. And part of that is to be conducting ourselves in joy. It's second on the list. Not to say that that list is in some sort of priority. They are just there, but they are there for all of us all of the time. And having said the word time, I looked at the clock again. So this is where we're going to wrap up today. And we will pick up here and continue on with what God has been showing me next week, and I'm looking forward to it. I do every week. This is one of my highlights of the week, as I get to spend my time during the middle of the week saying, okay, God, what do you want me to share next week? And to me, I enjoy it. So, Father God, we just thank you for your word, for your truth, that it is truth, and that we can know that you want us to know what you have for us. You are speaking to us day by day. Give us ears to hear what you're sharing with us. And once we have heard, we know that you will enable us to do what it is you've spoken to us. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. We praise your blessed holy name. And let all this be done in our lives according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.